Welcome to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch by interviewing authors, discussing their books, learning about the writing process, and even, on occasion, chatting live with a panel of authors to discuss topics relevant to both readers and writers. Hi, my guests today on the Online for Authors podcast are here to discuss pen names and why authors choose to use them, as well as the benefits and downfalls of doing so. My panel of guests includes Louise Davis, author of Haunted by You, Alexandra Grace, author of the Journey series, Van Haney, author of Stories to Curl Your Toes and Bloody Ever After, and Wenna Olson, author of Lost in Secrets. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. So I want to, start with the idea that, like, there are a lot of different reasons people use pen names. And I think not all of you have the same reasons. So why don't we just kind of, like, go in a circle here and find out why you use a pen name. And then, yeah, we'll just start with the why you use a pen name. So Alexandra, why do you use a pen name?
I write romance, so being that I work for a government full-time, I figured, don't know if those would go together. So I decided to start with a pen name. I held my face, you know, didn't put my face out there for a long time, and then finally I just gave up and said, whatever. I'm too proud of it, so whatever, I'm just going to go with it. So that's why I started.
Okay. What about you, Louise?
So I initially was going to publish my children's book under my real name. But I last minute Googled my name, and there was horrific publicity with my real name that I did not want children coming across. And so last minute, I decided to change it, which pushed the release date back a whole bunch because we had to change everything. Yep. So that's why mine was forced upon me.
Okay. So yours wasn't so much a decision that you wanted as much as a decision you felt like you had to go with.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Van?
So I write horror, and people make this assumption that I generally think about horrible things all the time when I talk to them and I tell them that I write horror. And I am also a mom and a teacher. And so to try and keep, you know, one life separate from the other and not have, like, students that I work with know what I write, not have, like, my kids and their friends know what I write, is helpful for me. And okay. For my mother-in-law, she also would like for me to sometimes not tell people the exact type of writing I do.
I see. Okay. Wonderful. And what about you, Wenna?
Well, I had several reasons why I chose one. My top three were I was scared of judgment. I write romance, which it's not really, like, bad romance or anything.
It's
or
not super
like that,
steamy. Okay.
It's not, like, so, but I was scared of judgment for that. And then I have nonfiction that I write under my actual name. So Those two genres don't really blend. And so that was another reason. And then, I lost my third reason.
It's no longer valid.
My biggest reason was that I was scared of putting it out there and then no one liking it. And so I was I'm just going to pretend like it's not me.
Right. So now I have a question. And this is an actual, because I do not use a pen name. I'm Terry M. Brown. That's who I am. I can't imagine trying to be someone else. Like, I can't keep up with myself as it is. And so the idea of keeping up with, like, Terry 2.0, I don't even know what I would do with that. But you're all on my podcast with your faces right here. And so people know who you are if they know who you are. So how does a pen name, like, help you, like, Van, let's talk to you, help you keep your students from knowing who you are if you're on a podcast and they see you?
So that's a really great question. So my family is super supportive, and people that I work with are generally super supportive. Like both sides of my family, so supportive, read my books and buy them. And I think that when I started, I kind of hid my face a little bit. Now I have like 2,200 people that follow me on TikTok.
Right.
I have like 250 people or so following me on Instagram. So my face is out there all the time. But because my name is different, kids have a harder time finding me.
Okay.
But I will say I was long-term subbing in a sixth grade in February, and the kids stalked me on TikTok until they found me. And okay. So they finally did find me, and I was like, wow, I don't know how I'm going to react or how they're going to react. And they were super excited. They watched some of my videos and told me how boring they were. And I was like, I was like, they're not for you.
Right, right.
They were like, I guess. I'm never going to watch this again. I was like, that's fine.
Probably good.
They were very supportive. They asked me if I could give them books, and I said no. They asked if they could buy my books, and I said, you should have your parents buy them, but not you, because I don't want you to read them. But I think that for me, it's less about like people actually associating me with the books, mm-hmm. Because I am proud of what I write, and I want to continue to sell books and you know, enhance my writing more and more. But I don't want it to be readily available necessarily.
Okay. Okay. I understand that. What about you, Alexandra? Do you have trouble like being on a podcast? Is there anything that worries you about being seen?
No, not anymore. Because now it's out there, more people know me. And I switched kind of what I write about now to where I try to do steamy. It's just not me as far as spicy. So now I just do steamy closed door, and it's more me. And it's, you know, I've always wrote where it wasn't very spicy anyway.
Right.
So I'm not really worried about what people would think anymore. And I kind of have more confidence in my author self than I do in my regular self. So I've grown exponentially. I can even put a feeling on it since I started this, because I feel like I'm growing in both ways now than I wouldn't if I didn't have this pen name.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. And I'd like to talk with you, Wenna, just for a minute, because you said like your main reason was because you were like worried, like mm-hmm. what were people going to think? And I don't know, was it kind of like the imposter syndrome? Am I really an author? That kind of thing?
I mean,
has that changed any?
There's a little bit of that, but it's funny that you bring up imposter syndrome, because I often feel more like an imposter with my fake name than not, because people will call me Wenna and I'm like, that's not my name.
That's not who I am.
That's not me. Who are you talking to? But it was just really, a lot of it was off of fear. I also kind of wanted to keep some privacy. I don't show my face a lot on my social media account. I did decide to do this because I was like, well, the more I'm like advertising myself, the more people want to know who I am. And so
right.
It's kind of like this, like, I don't know. So it's like been this slow process of letting people in.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Louise, yours was very different in that you had intended to be who you are.
Yeah.
But then there was this horrible thing that was, you know, on the internet with your name. Of course it wasn't you, but it was, you know, your name.
Yeah. It was
how long ago?
Especially stuff that I didn't want kids or young adults coming across.
How long ago was that?
So let's see. Grandpa's Boots came out in 2017.
Okay. So have you,
and it Googled, is still, if yeah,
it's yes, still, I was going to ask, is it still
gonna,
out there that way?
It's going to take a long time for my name to top
okay.
that one. But since I started with the pen name, I do like some of the other advantages, cause I do live in a really small town. So it does give me a little bit more privacy, versus, I mean, but I'm not too worried about it. I do struggle, as you know, from your podcast with accidentally saying my real name.
Yeah.
And even at my launch party, there were people there and I was like, oh, hi, and introduced myself with my real name. And they're like, wait, what? Ooh, I'm like, oh, sorry.
Never mind.
Louise. I'm Louise.
So yeah, I think that would be probably the hardest thing for me, that would be the number one hardest thing for me, is not remembering who I was at any given time. Like, am I Terry today or am I pen name Terry today? And I would not only get it wrong in the moment, but like, if I'm in an event, I can imagine, I talk about myself in the third person a lot, and I can imagine that I would just like, out, I would come with the wrong name. That would be the hardest thing. So we've kind of talked a little bit about some advantages. You get some privacy, right? And you get the opportunity to maybe write in a genre that is either different from what you've written in your real name, or in a genre that maybe you don't want associated because of whatever you do for work. Do you find any disadvantages other than accidentally spouting your real name? Do you have any disadvantages at all to having a pen name?
I actually find it really hard signing up for things or like doing things to support my writing, because a lot of times it'll ask for information like your address and your phone number and your name. And I'm like, well, do I put my pen name? Like, will other people see this? Or do I put my regular name? I have a writer's group that I host, and it's sponsored through our local library, and my name associated with it is Van Haney, because that's the name that I use for writing. So people will automatically call me Van, and I'm like, what? Oh, right. Like, that's what I used, because right. To me, it made the most sense for this situation. But then I'm like introducing myself to them like all over again, being like, you can call me this.
Right. Because in this situation, although I'm a writer, in this situation, I'm me. Right. Okay. So like just signing up, like how do you sign yourself in would be a difficult mm-hmm. thing. Anybody else? Yeah.
Yeah. I always have to think before I sign a book.
Yeah,
because both my regular name also starts with an A, so I have to really consciously pay attention.
Okay, I had to practice for a long time to make sure I would. And still, there are so many books that I just did not do my signature right. I had to like try and fix it.
Okay. All right. Any other difficulties? So we've got book signing that's hard. We've got signing up for events that's hard.
Copyright.
Copyright. Talk about
if
that.
If you copyright it under your name, it's 100 years past your death or something.
Okay.
If you sign up copyright under your pen name, it is not copyrighted for as long.
Oh, well, do you know how long it is? Like,
I
is it
remember. I should have re-looked
shorter?
That up.
That's all right.
It is significantly shorter. I ended up still doing it under my pen name because I thought it would be weird in the front where it's like copyright, totally different name.
Right.
So, but yeah, it is different and it has different rules.
Okay. Well, that's something that we'll definitely look up. Maybe I'll even put a link or something in the show notes that talks about like where someone can go and find that information. I had not even ever heard that one or considered it. That's interesting. Any other difficulties with a pen name? See, I'm just thinking like marketing in general. So do any of you know anyone who uses a pen name who does not ever put their face out in public?
Okay. Yeah, I've come across some, but I can't remember who it is.
Okay. I can't imagine if I were that person. Like, you can't get on a podcast. I don't know what you would do on your social media. I guess you only put covers of books and I don't
hands.
Know.
Words.
Hands, yeah, avatars. Hands. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that
and
would be
I'm,
hard.
Yeah, see, and I'm so much, it's like, you know, here I am with my book. You know, that kind of thing. I can't imagine what you would do. And then... like, how would you be a host of a podcast? Like, you would eliminate that ability because you can't say, hi, I'm the host of a podcast. I'm an author, but I can't tell you who, you know?
Yeah.
I would imagine, most of the people who don't show their face and use a pen name are probably introverts. So the last thing they're going to want to do is show their face on social media.
Okay. Yeah. Or be on podcast, right? Is that, is that the way that works?
Yeah.
Okay. Or they have like a really good reason, right? Where like maybe they write something else that's really successful. And so,
right.
I don't know. They don't need to show their face
maybe
for the other book.
Boy, wouldn't that be a nice problem?
Yeah.
I do know of an author that had a pen name and now no longer does. And so all of their books were changed to have their actual name instead of their pen name. And it was because they were, I think, a journalist. And so they didn't want their name associated with the books, and the books are told in first person. So they just put the character's name as the author.
Oh,
And now the books are being changed.
Isn't that interesting? So, you know, there are valid reasons. It's not that there aren't valid reasons for changing. I think for me, I just sit here and can't imagine trying to be someone other than who I am. My question now is, how did you come up with your names? So Van, let's start with you. Tell me, where did it come from? Is there like a story behind it, or a purpose, or?
So my pen name here is a shortened version of my name before I was married.
Okay.
So
your maiden name.
My maiden name. And then I also used a pen name for my middle grade fantasy, but I used an entirely different name. And it is very similar to my actual name.
Okay.
So
you picked something that felt similar anyway.
Yes. Okay. That way I could respond without, like, I wouldn't be so shocked when I had to respond and people called me right
now. What about you, Wenna? Where did Wenna Olson come from?
Completely random. I was looking for character names using an online generator, mm-hmm. and Wenna Olson, I was like, that sounds really cool. I'm going to use that name.
So. Okay.
That sounds cool.
Okay.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
Okay. Alexander Grace, where did yours come from?
Mine is a combination of my kids' middle names.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome. Yep.
That is cool.
Grace is my daughter's middle name, and Alexander is my son's middle name.
Wow, that is, I like that. I like that. And what about you, Louise?
So I actually went through a bunch of names trying to figure out what to use, but everything that I did, there was already authors. Like one was an erotica author, and I'm writing young adult. So I'm like, that probably shouldn't be the same name, because once again, it's going to take a long time for me to come
to the top, right?
Any established authors. Anyway, so I went through a bunch and I decided to do Louise, which is just my middle name.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. All right. So what's interesting about that is that my name, Terry, T-E-R-I, one R, there is a Terry Brown who's an author. Oh, really? And if you look on Instagram, I think she goes by Terry Brown Writes. And I've had people try to tag me when that's not who I am. And so that's why I decided to put my middle initial in. I'm Terry M. Brown, and I put everything as the M, and that way, hopefully, people will know me from her. It's interesting. She doesn't write very often. She hasn't had a book out in a while, but she pops up when you just put Terry Brown. So I don't know. Maybe I should have had a pen name. But that's a question. What pen name, if I were going to have one, what should I have, ladies?
Something you would still respond to?
Nothing. I can't imagine what that would be.
Maybe just shortening it to like T.M. Brown.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I can't imagine. Like, what would I respond to? Mom? Mom. Or Gigi. That's what the grandkids call me. So maybe I would respond to Gigi. Gigi Brown, what do you think?
I like it.
I like it too.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you guys hear my dog? I'm so sorry if he's being obnoxious.
You could hear my cat.
I did hear a cat once. I did hear a cat.
He wants to be in here with me, and so he's just whining.
All right. I don't hear anything. So that's good. Okay. So we heard that Van uses two different pen names with two different genres. So anybody else using two names?
I did that because I read and I had talked to a couple of authors who had this issue where people got confused and they were looking for a specific genre of yours and came across the other and were upset after purchasing the book because it wasn't what they expected you to have written. So that's why I did it. Okay. I wanted to keep these two very different genres separate.
And yours are very different because you're talking about young adult fiction.
Yeah, middle grade. So like middle fourth grade to
okay. And then adult horror. So yeah, some pretty significant difference there. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Are you all using just the one name?
Yes. I had come across or wanted to also write middle grade at some point. So I was going to use my real name for that one if mm-hmm. I ever got around to it. So yeah, I was going to do the same thing.
Okay. All right. And I think Louise, you write more than one genre.
Yep.
But you use the same name?
Yep. I knew I wouldn't be able to keep up with multiple social media accounts and everything. So, but I do, if I ever decided to stray away from like, because I have children's books and young adult. So if I decided to stray away from like young adult appropriate, I probably would probably use a different name, but as long as I keep it young adult appropriate, I'll probably just keep with.
Right. Right. So if you went into something that was steamy or something that was super provocative in some way or horror like Van writes, you might then consider doing a different name.
Yeah. Okay. But I do, after my series, I do plan on writing a dystopian. So it's jumping genres, but it will still be YA. So I'm just going to stay for now.
Okay. Well, okay.
Louise, that sounds like it's awesome for you, though, because your kids can grow with you, right? So they can read your children's books and then as they get older, find your YA books also.
Yeah. And that means that in another 10 years, she needs to start writing some adult.
Some adult.
Right? So that those young readers will keep reading and they'll say, oh, good, look, Louise has written more. What about you, Wenna? If you were to write something other than what you're currently writing, would you change your name or would you stick with Wenna?
If it's fiction, I'd probably stick with Wenna. I do have nonfiction that I write under my actual name. So, but yeah, if it stays in the fiction realm, I'd probably stick with my name.
All right. All right.
I do foresee going across genres, so we'll see what happens.
Go ahead.
What's the nonfiction that you write under your real name?
It's a devotional.
Okay. So a spiritual devotional.
Yeah. Very different from romance.
That makes sense.
So what I like here is that a lot of us are genre jumping, which is kind of nice to see because I'm currently, you know, as I was saying before the show, I write historical fiction currently, but I'm writing right now a children's picture book and a contemporary comedy. And so I wonder, like, is that even, you know, quote unquote allowed? And I like seeing that other people are also jumping around and writing what it is that comes to them, as opposed to feeling like they're stuck in a rut. So I think for a long time, writers were told that you were, you know, like if you wrote horror, then you had to write horror. That's what you wrote. You weren't supposed to write anything else. And I like the fact that I don't think that's quite as true anymore. Or maybe it is, and I'm fooling myself.
I had heard the same thing, but then I have watched some of my favorite authors genre jump and keep their names, and they're doing, they are very big, so they probably can do whatever they want, but they're doing fine.
Alexandra?
No,
I thought I saw you raise your hand.
Yeah, they're big authors.
Oh, yeah.
the big whales, I call them, in our little tiny fish pond.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, maybe that's good. If the big guys can do it, then they're essentially giving permission for, you know, the rest of us to go ahead and be who we are. You know, I always tell people that I write the story that's in my head. I really don't think about the genre. I actually write the story that's in my head. And I often, when I'm done, have to say, okay, where does this belong?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. Me. I don't want to limit myself to just one specific genre.
Yeah, I don't know. I have an idea and I go with it. And then it's like, oh, wow, that turned out to be historical fiction. Or, you know, that's actually Southern historical fiction. Or that's, you know, and then I find a place for it. And then the book I'm writing right now, I say it's contemporary humor with a side of romance. And I don't even know what category I'm going to put it in. I have no idea. And so, yeah, we'll find out.
Alexandra and Wenna, you both write like spicier books, right? Mm-hmm. No.
Mine, I call it Sweet with Heat.
Sweet with Heat. Okay. Yeah, so closed door. She has
closed door.
She, you know that something's happening, but you don't read about it. What about you, Wenna?
It's very, I don't even know. I don't call it sweet, but it's also not closed door because there's nothing really happening behind the door either.
Okay.
Maybe. So I've only written one book so far. I don't know what's going to happen with the next one, but they were teenagers. So I was like, and it's suspenseful. I'm like, I don't got time for that stuff. Like,
I like the build up. So that's where I focus mine. Yeah. It's just building up to it. And then
and then let everyone have their own imagination. I like that better for me. In terms of reading. So
I just think about it like when writing horror, like people make this assumption that I think about dark and terrible things all the time. And I imagine that people who write spicy romance also have that problem where people think like that's what they think about all the time. And it's just not the case, right? Like a lot of what I think about is the characters and how they interact and the scary parts or like the gruesome parts. Those are the parts that I put in, you know, for that effect and to move the story along and to get to where I'm going. But like my thought is going to be character driven. Yeah. And so I think that's probably the same for a lot of people who write romance, that like, you're not just trying to get to that spicy part.
You're not just like, trying to get into the bed, right? There's more
to it
than that.
You're not always thinking about that. It's just part of what you write.
Right. It's part of the relationship. It's not the purpose of the story for me anyway.
Right. Yeah. I think that's true though. Whenever someone thinks of a genre, they assume like that's it for you. That's the thing. And like you, Van, I feel like I'm character driven. That's what I'm doing is I have characters in my head and then they end up someplace. And, you know, if I have a healer woman from the Appalachian Mountains, it's probably not going to be 2024. So I'm going to need to put her somewhere. And then we end up in history, and 1890s is where she ended. And it wasn't that I said, oh, I'm in love with the 1890s in the mountains, and now I have to figure out a story to go here. It was I had a character who just very naturally fit there. And so I think that's what you're kind of saying about your horror as well, is you have these characters and you know it's a horror genre. So there's certain things that have to happen.
What, you're not obsessed with the 1890s?
Oh, I am. I think about them all day long.
And the Appalachian Mountains, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I think that a lot of times I'll have an idea as to, like, where they need to end up and what that middle looks like. But my focus is always on, like, building those characters and who they are and then getting them through the plot that I've planned out. Which always takes like detours and things along the way. But yeah, I think that for me, I don't sit there at night and just think about horror stories.
No, I hope not. Or you're not going to sleep at all.
I actually usually tell people that a lot of my ideas, they come from those intrusive thoughts that you have suddenly, you know, like you're driving on the freeway and you're like, oh gosh, like what if I ran off the road really quickly right now? Like it's those like split second thoughts that are usually where my ideas come from. And it's not something that I'm just dwelling on and thinking about all the time.
Well, I can actually say that looking at you, I don't say, oh my gosh, there's a horror author. So, you know, you're not, nothing about you just, you know, like oozes it. So that's
not scary.
My husband always says I'm super bubbly and like you would never assume that I was like writing horror, but he watches his back just in case.
Just in case. That's funny. I'm curious. This doesn't have anything to do with pen names, but like how you write. Are you pantsters? or are you plotters? So we'll start with Alexandra. Pantser or plotter?
I'm a pantser all the way. I have characters that I know I want to have this beautiful story. I have some little ideas here or there, but I have no idea where or how or when the story is going to end until they get me there.
Okay. What about you, Louise?
I am a plotter. Okay. I was originally a pantser, but it just was not working out. And I took a class through Ashley Mansour and learned her method, and she converted me to plotting. But I do have to admit, my characters will still throw curveballs while I'm following my plot, and we go on a little mini detour and then try to come back. But I have had to change plot stuff later because of what my characters do. So I guess I have a little bit of pantser still in me, but I do plot everything out now.
Okay. I love those detours. What about you, Van?
So I have published 2 books, but I have written 5, and I'm working on my 6th right now. And I would say that I am a plotter 100%. 2 of the books I wrote as pantser, and I just can't imagine doing that all the time.
Okay.
Great. All right.
What about you, Wenna?
I'm a little bit of both. I have to have a direction. Like, I need a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then everything else is just kind of like happens.
Just so you feel good, Alexandra, I am a pantser all the way. All the way. In my latest that came out in January, I was 52,000 words in and still had no idea how I was going to wrap it all up. And I finally wrote a very difficult scene, something I didn't want to write. It just came, like, I knew that's what needed to happen. I didn't want to write it. I didn't write it for 6 weeks because I didn't want that to be the thing. I finally wrote it. And the next day I woke up and I knew where the rest of the story was going.
Yep.
But my characters, they kind of stand against the wall with their arms crossed. And they're like, no, we're not going there. You know, I've got a nice little, this is what should happen next. And they're like, no, I'm not playing that game. I'm just not going with you. So I have very, very stubborn characters. So.
Yeah.
Do you end up rewriting a lot if you're a pantser? Like reading it and being like, okay, well, now I need to go add this in, or I need to change this, or this has to be moved, or things like
that. What I do is when I'm writing, I have a notebook next to me. And if I start to write something and recognize, ooh, for this to happen, for instance, for this to happen, we need to know earlier that her grandfather was Italian and told her about some Italian superstitions. So I will write in my notebook, need grandfather to have brought up Italian superstitions before chapter 13. And then I go back to my, and so then when I'm editing, I know that before chapter 13, I need to figure out a way to add that in. So grandpa has a conversation, we put that in somewhere, and that's where it comes in. And so I just kind of, it's like, as I'm going, I recognize, oh, the only way this is going to work is if I've said something earlier and I need to, so I'll just jot it down so that when I go back for editing, I don't forget what it was that I wanted to do.
Yeah. My process is probably not very efficient, but I can write a book pretty fast.
Yeah,
but
me
then
too.
It takes a lot of rounds of editing to make sure all the little pieces are pieced together along the way. So it's like reading through it so many times over and over again. So it 3-4 month process.
So I think really pantsers are backwards plotters. So we get the story out and then we have to go back and figure out the plot and make sure that it all fits in. Whereas plotters do all that to begin with. And then they don't have quite as much. I think that plotters maybe do more on the front end. I just sit down and start, I don't know, I call it word vomit. Just, you know, I'm just typing in. Yeah.
One thing I do though is I started to do, which with my latest release it really helped, is I've been writing out backgrounds for my characters so I know where they came from before I get there. Because I learned that with my series that, you know, I didn't really have a background of my characters before I started writing. So I kind of learned that as I went. So I think I'd rather have their background and then figure out what their story goes after that.
All right. Well, I love that we're all different. And yet we all come out with books that, you know, are out there and people are reading them. So that's fabulous. Real quickly, let's go around, talk very quickly about what's coming up next for you. So we'll start this time with Louise. Louise, what's next for you?
So I, my first book, Haunted by You, came out in October. Mm-hmm. And the sequel, My Haunted Vow, is coming out this next October, October 8th. So
fantastic. Fantastic. And next. So it's another YA suspense. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. Continuing the story of Haunted by You. I do switch main point of view characters, okay. But it's continuing the story from book one.
Fantastic. How about you, Van?
I am working on a novel that is kind of in the line of vampires. And it's definitely going to be like one of my longest books so far. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that I'll have that out by the fall.
Fantastic. Awesome. Fantastic. Wenna?
So my first book came out this past fall, Lost in Secrets. And there were two characters in that one that wanted to keep talking to me. So I'm working on their story right now. It'll be another mystery romance. So
fantastic. Any idea when you might get it out?
I was hoping this summer, but that's not happening. So
so we're going to say fall. We're going to say sometime in the fall.
Okay. We're going to go with the fall.
Okay. Yeah. And what about you, Alexandra?
I have my next release coming out tomorrow. And
woohoo! Congratulations.
Thanks. And it's so really good. Just have
thank you. That little. Yeah, that one I'm really excited for. It's the first book in a duet, so I still have to write the second book. But my next book's going to be my first small town Christmas romance.
Okay. Ooh, and so Christmas. What is the name of the one coming out tomorrow?
Make You Love Me.
Make You Love Me. Fantastic. And so then, everybody who's listening, Make You Love Me is coming out tomorrow. And they can get it, what, Amazon, all the other places?
Amazon, Books and Barnes & Noble.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, ladies, I am super excited that you joined me today. Thank you for being live on Online for Authors. And is there anything else that you want to discuss about pen names that we didn't bring up? Anything that you think our listeners... I'm a little bit
curious if you ever have issues with like ARC or beta readers or anything like that, because you use a pen name and like reaching out to people. Do you do everything under that pen name? Or
that's a good question.
Yep.
Does somebody ladies, get to know your ARC and beta readers?
Yeah,
I use my pen name for everything. Sorry.
Yeah, everything I do, email, newsletters, social media, everything's under my pen name.
Okay.
So I give out my real name to people that I build a relationship. Like Louise, she knows my real name because I feel like I said, an imposter. Like, I feel like I'm deceiving people intentionally by giving them a false name. I'm like, I can't do that. So people who I do have relationships with, like ARC readers or beta readers, they typically know my actual name. Or if I mail people my like books, they get my real name. So
yeah,
it was mostly just because I was afraid. So that's why I have a pen name.
Yeah, I do tell people my real name too. I tell it in podcasts. So, but yeah, but like for all my correspondence and like when I'm talking about myself on social media, I use my pen name just so it's not confusing because they'll be like, wait, who?
Who?
Who are you talking about?
Okay. Okay. What about you, Van? What have you been doing? Have you been going by Van or have you been...
So it's a little bit complicated. So on my, like when I'm in a Facebook group, like I'm in a lot of writers' Facebook groups and stuff. And so I may post in an ARC group under my real name. But when it gets sent out from like Book Funnel or something, it would be with my pen name. But that's kind of why I was wondering, because it is like a weird gray area where you're like, hey, you're doing me a favor. Or I'm paying you a very little amount of money or something. So like, you know, do they find out your real name? And does that affect anything? I mean, I haven't had it affect anything so far, but I just was curious.
So I guess for me, it's interesting that you're on Facebook as yourself in writers groups talking about your writing as Van.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I would have thought that if I were doing that on those Facebook groups, I would be my pen name and not me. And that like my me would be my own little personal Facebook page. And then everything else would be like separate. So
That's how I am, except for I have come across where I can't join certain groups as a page, which my author Facebook page is a page, not a person. And so I'll have to join as me. And when that happens, that's why I say, I write under my pen name and tell them so they're not confused. But
okay,
still, it does get a little bit confusing.
Yeah. I would say one of the more confusing things is that I'm in the Northwest Independent Authors Association. And that gets complicated because I sign up for events and stuff as me, but sometimes it has my name, sometimes it has my pen name. So the stuff that goes out to the public, I want to make sure has my pen name, but the stuff that's within the group could have either. And that can be confusing when I meet people also.
Yeah, especially because they think they've met you and then they think, well, wait a minute, I don't know that name. And then, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the part of pen names I think that would be the most difficult for me. Is like, who am I right now? And who do the people around me need me to be? Yeah. So, and I only know how to be me. So that's, I'm Terry. And that's just what I'll, that's probably what I'll always be. Unless I'm Gigi and I can handle that because it's my grandkids. So, you know, but even then, just so you know, that's confusing because my oldest grandson calls me grandma. And then my next oldest from a different family, she started calling me Gigi, and that really stuck. So I went to my oldest, and he's 1 year older. He's now 6. And I said, hey, everyone's calling me Gigi. Do you want to call me Gigi? And he said, no, thank you. So I'm grandma to some, and I'm Gigi to others. And sometimes it's very confusing if they're all there, because it's like, hey, do you want to come with grandma Gigi me? Do you want to come with me?
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway. All right. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being on today. This has been a wonderful show of Online for Authors, and I'm excited that you've been here with us today.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch. Tune in next Tuesday for another podcast episode.